producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and I are starting right now with Dan Oliver, and we're going to do something we haven't done very often in the past, and that is we're going to start talking about politics a little bit, and then we're going to flip over into the second segment again with Dan, and we're going to talk about economic issues. On the political front, though, it's also getting very crazy in the sense that Hillary Clinton, apparently, according to the information that we have, the FBI is strongly considering indicting her for illegal actions, if in fact that happens. I guess we're going to just see how powerful the Clinton family is here. But something that we talked about with Dan, who knows as much about politics as anybody having grown up in Washington, D.C., within a fairly prominent family, I would have to say that something that he brought up that I think is very, very interesting is if Hillary Clinton, in fact, does get indicted, would the president pardon her? Or would Mr. Biden step in to save the day? My guess is it's going to be the latter, if in fact that happens. And I'm on record as saying, by the way, from what I know, I don't see how, Dan, the FBI cannot indict her.
Well, I think that's right. I think if they don't, then the idea that the rule of law applies to everybody the same is out the window forever. I mean, that's somewhat true, of course, but rarely is it broadcast in such stark terms. I mean, what she has done is clearly felonious. And last week, the email that came out where she ordered one of her underlings to take the security designation off the information and send it to her through her unsecured email, it's a straight line felony. I mean, people go to jail for much less than that. So I think it's clear that she's broken the law. And the only question is, what will happen? And, you know, from what people write, from what people I talk to say, is that the FBI, which is a professional organization, I suppose a political one for the most part, is itching to move forward on this. And the stumbling block is, will the Attorney General block it or not? And if she does, then what happens? But it's so clear that she's broken the law. I who knows? But I suspect they will indict her. And the question is, as you said, what happens? And I see two outcomes. One is Obama pardons her. The other is that Biden jumps in the race, perhaps with Elizabeth Warren, to try to unite the Democrats with a crazy socialist as a running mate, and Biden, who has an aura, at least, of being a little more sensible as the front runner. And, you know, I think what will determine that, of course, is sheer politics. I mean, we all know that Clinton's and the Obamas hate each other. And so the question is, can they come out with some sort of deal to save Hillary? Does he want to? What will the terms that are going to be? And I suspect part of that calculation, I think, will be her current poll numbers. I mean, the numbers I read suggest that she's falling in the polls, and Sanders is moving ahead in Iowa and New Hampshire. And that's just an extraordinary thing. I mean, Sanders is a sort of a comical figure from the 60s, you know, this sort of socialist guy. And the idea that he's actually beating the Clinton machine in the polls is just demonstrates to me what a lousy candidate she is. That was on display when Obama beat her. It's clear now. And so the calculation may be on Obama's side, since he wants to see his legacy continued by having a Democrat in the White House. It may be, look, she just can't win. She's a lousy candidate, and therefore let's take her out with an indictment and stick Biden there just to, you know, save the party and move forward. And I, you know, right now I think that's the more likely outcome. But, you know, I think that the Clintons are so devious and no bounds of civilized behavior that I think it's too early to count them out. You just never know what they'll do next. I mean, look, as we all remember that weekend when Bill was holed up in the White House, and it was clear that he was going to go. I mean, the way Nixon went, I mean, he was all over for him. And they hunkered down, and he didn't. He survived it. And I think that taught him that the U.S. is no longer a country of a strong rule of law, and they could get away with anything. And that's what they've done since. And the question is, has it finally caught up with them? And I think we'll find out in the next month or so.
Well, the indictment would be one thing, and I think that would be actually the start of a much longer process. And a lot of different outcomes which could come through that. Question that I have for you here, Dan, is if the indictment does come down, and if I think we're all kind of assuming that Hillary gets off one way or another, do you think that they spin that almost in a positive sense, or at least use the media to further her political, I guess, agenda and campaign?
No, I don't think so. I mean, don't forget, these processes take a long time. I mean, if she got indicted, it's not as if there'd be a trial the next week and she'd be exonerated. I mean, it would be, you know, a multi-year process of just terrible press. I mean, I joke sometimes, I think Marion Barry won the mayorship of Washington from jail. So, I mean, you never know, these Democrats. Maybe she'll run from jail and win. Who knows? But on a serious note, it would just be so devastating to her. And again, her being Clinton is hard to imagine her packing her bags and saying, oh, well, I'm going to stop campaigning. But it's just hard to imagine that you wouldn't have the Democratic Party, just for self-survival, finally District Clinton's trying to move beyond them, maybe with Obama as the new, you know, standard bearer for the party. I mean, they don't forget, the Clintons, with their Clinton Foundation, they've extorted how much? $2 billion out of people, out of foreign governments and sort of various international criminals to finance their cronies and their friends. That's an extraordinary large sum of money. And it gives them huge power inside the Democratic Party, and everyone's afraid of them because they hold the purse strings. And that's one of the sources of their power. I think it's harder to exercise that power from jail. And it may be that, well, once it's clear she's not going to be the leader that everyone assumes she would, it may be that people start defecting en masse to someone else. And that's how these things work. That's what happened last time. Once the inevitability went away, everyone abandoned her and to Obama. And you can definitely see that happening again.
Well, it could. She's up right now in Iowa by about 3 points, and she is up, interestingly enough, in New Hampshire by about somewhere around 13 or 15 points. So Sanders hasn't really taken the lead yet. I mean, the current story in Iowa, which, you know, is basically only that she is not wildly ahead anymore. And I would have to say that being up by 15 points in New Hampshire would almost put in the category of being wildly ahead.
I guess so, but don't forget, this is against Sanders we're talking about, right? This is not some other mainstream, credible choice. This is about a 60s fossil spouting on about socialism, which is, I mean, nutty, right? This is a 1960s and 70s craziness, and she's only 15 points ahead of that.
That's a good point.
Demonstrates tremendously soft support, if that's the only term. And, of course, they were very successful, I don't know how they did it, of keeping anyone legitimate out of the race. I mean, I think Jim Webb is a little less insane than the other people in the race, but he was completely shoved out the door. And so she was the only person running, essentially. The debates have been a joke. I mean, just her and no one else. And even with all that, she's really not that far ahead. So, I mean, I think it goes back to, is she a strong enough candidate to beat the Republican? They certainly, the Democrats have the machine, right? All the illegal immigrants vote for them. All the dead people vote for them. So they have that advantage. But you still have to get, you know, live people to show up and vote for you to win. It's not obvious to me that Hillary can get that movement to back her and get excited about her. And again, I mean, it goes down to, if and when they indict her, what do the Democrats decide to do about it? And they may take that opportunity to dump her.
So, Dan, is this just further almost paving the way for Trump to get in?
Well, that's a great question. I think Trump's gonna win. I mean, a lot can happen. Usually, as everyone knows, there's that candidate who shows up early in the cycle and he shoots to the front, you know, for a few weeks and then he craters. And that's what everyone thought Trump would do. And here he is with a consistent lead for a long period of time. The caucuses and the primaries are rapidly approaching, and his numbers are not softening. And I think to the extent that the senior politicians implode, I mean, Bush has been a disaster as a candidate, and then Clinton looks like she's got major problems with the law. And then add to that market instability, which, you know, we can talk about, but it looks to me like the credit bubble is in full phase unravel mode. All that's going to do is push people towards the non-traditional candidate. And I think that Trump has planted himself right there. And I think this helps the Trump presidency quite a bit.
We're going to have you right back. We're going to talk some economics. Thanks, man.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? And that's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Dan Oliver, going to switch focus here and talk about what's been going on in the investment community. Dan, there is no doubt that the U.S. markets, actually markets around the world, have gotten off to a pretty dismal start to kick off 2016. Many pundits point to the continued fall in oil prices, also the continued slowdown and turmoil in the markets over in China. Which, in your eyes, is having a bigger impact on the U.S.? And just what's your overall take of this downward move that we've seen since we've turned the corner into 2016?
Yeah, well, first let me step back a bit. For about a year ago, when oil started getting very weak, and all the supply-side economists like Larry Kudlow and some of the Fed governors were saying the lower oil prices were unreservedly a good thing, right? The idea being that lower oil prices means people pay less at the gas pump, and then they've got more money to spend on other things, right? And the more Austrian crowd that I'm in had a different take, which was, no, oil is one of the inputs for economic activity, and the fact it's weakening indicates that the industrial engine, the industrial global engine is sputtering. And so you get these two divergent views, and I think, people strong words were used to describe each side. And of course, now I think the answer is clear that no, lower oil prices does indicate what's happening in the economy is not something that goes down and saves everyone money. What my view is that China clearly was the locus of the global credit bubble since 2008. The increase in Chinese bank deposits was on the order of $15 trillion over 2 or 3 years. They used more concrete in 3 years than the U.S. did in the entire 20th century. So, I mean, it was just a huge, huge credit bubble. And, of course, those assets are worthless, so China's rolling over. And the question is, how and does this weakness transmit itself into Western markets? And the transmission mechanism, in my view, are commodities. And since the last 16 years, and I know personally because I've met with so many of these commodity companies, the reason the CEOs all gave for expanding their projects or building their project was China. It was all China, China, China. We're building it for China. China's going to have, it's got a billion people, and it's China, China, China. And of course, what they did was create huge overcapacity that was enabled by the Fed, putting interest rates at zero that allowed people to finance these things. So you have these enormous overcapacity. And what I tell people is, envision in your mind what an iron ore mine looks like. If you've never seen one, Google it. Or a mid-sea oil platform and all the helicopters that go there and back and forth. I mean, these are enormous, enormous assets, huge, expensive assets. I think much bigger than the trailer parks that the subprime mortgage crisis started in. These are huge, and they're not financed with equity. These are things are financed with the debt, and banks lent the money to these projects, and they're all blowing up now. And the question is how long will it take for that blow up to reach the money center banks, and what will that do about it? What you're seeing is interest rates all over the world on the marginal interest rates going crazy. So not the Fed funds rate, but if you look at the triple C yield, the subprime corporate yields, that kind of yield, it's going berserk because capital is drying up. There's simply no capital to buy these things. And the other thing you're seeing is a huge blowout in bid-ask spreads, which tells you liquidity is drying up. You're seeing a lot of these bonds that people were very easily bought or high yielding. Now they can't be sold because there's no liquidity there. So all the things that were happening in 2007 or 2008 are happening, only happening much faster, much worse. And the idea that the Fed just started in a tightening cycle is of course, insane. I mean, that's just crazy. So the only question is, when will they have to back down? And I note that Bullard, who's a Fed governor, came out this morning and said that if oil prices went down too low, it would threaten the Fed's inflation target, right? Well, of course, everyone knows what that means. I mean, that means that the Fed is not going to raise higher and or start printing money. And, of course, that's why the market's ramping today, because a Fed official came out and said that. And Bullard's the same guy, supposed to be a hawk, the same guy who said the market about a year ago when the market was tanking. He said, well, if this keeps going, we'll have to QE4. So the Fed is obviously extremely concerned about this. And the only thing traders can say is, gee, look, the Fed's got our back. And the question is, do they or not? And does it matter? I mean, there's so much overcapacity in the world that can policymakers hitting some buttons and printing some money save the system, and eventually the answer will be no. I don't know if it's this cycle or next cycle, but eventually that stops working. And so in my mind, we passed the peak of the credit cycle last summer, and now we're in the full-on headlong collapse phase, and which is accelerating. And the only question is, when the Fed intervenes, and will they intervene strongly enough to save it?
And what do you think the answer to that is?
The Fed is a political organization, as we know. I mean, they have this academic aura, but it's really politics. And there's this meme out there that the QE1 was the good QE. Even the journal says that. And then the QE2 and 3 were superfluous, and they shouldn't have done it. I think that's what the Dallas Fisher said last week. Dick Fisher admitted that the Fed juiced the market intentionally, and therefore we're going to have a rough time going forward. He's no longer Fed governor, so we can say that. And I think the answer is that the Fed won't act until it has the political backing to do so. And the question is, when do they get that? And they get that when the Republicans, when the Wall Street journalists saying, oh, you got to do something, right? And that's not going to happen, in my view, until the market's a lot lower, right? Well, once the market's in free fall and it's gone down 25, 30, 45%, that you're going to see the folks at Wall Street Journal and National Review saying, you got to print money again to keep the system from melting down. And then they'll act, right? But keep in mind that, as Lodwig von Mises taught everyone, you know, every time, and Hayek too, every time you intervene, it's got to be stronger than the last time. So it'll make 2008 look like a picnic with the amount of money they'll have to print to avoid a total collapse.
Dan, I guess this is just showing how interconnected everything is when you talk about commodities getting hit just because of the general global slowdown that we're seeing, and the stock markets, I think, finally taking notice that earnings are coming in lower, companies are cutting back pretty much across the board what they do. Can the markets, do you think, sustain a certain level, even if it is, say, 10, 15% lower than where we're at right now, if everyone accepts that the new normal is slow growth and everyone needs to be aware of that?
Yeah, I don't think so. And the reason is, don't forget, the markets are highly, highly levered, not just within the market itself through margin debts and through, you know, levered ETFs and these things, but the companies themselves. Don't forget, one of the things that the Fed largesse went into was allowing these companies to buy back their own stock. So with debt, right? They borrow money to buy back their stock. The CEO gets a big bonus, right? But what it does is it hugely levers the balance sheet. So that slowdown you're describing can have a massive hit on the corporate structure because it's so levered. So you've got two things happening. You've got the margin debts in the market. And so there's a tipping point somewhere where it goes down too far, and all of a sudden there's a giant margin call the way there was in 2008, and the whole thing collapses, right? That's what we're heading towards. And the other question is, how fast do we get there? And I think we get there fairly soon.
It is very definitely an interesting time. We were talking in a daily editorial last Thursday with Doc, who is a very, very good technician, about where he thought the market was going to be in 2016. And he said, as of my technicals today, and that was last Thursday, which was, what was that? I guess that would be the 14th of this month, 2 days ago. He said the technicals are so close right now that a lot was going to depend, in his opinion, on what happened yesterday, Friday. But he said, we need to generate a little bit of time before we can really make a logical decision at this point. And I think I would agree with that. I was very surprised to see what happened in the markets on Thursday. And to me, it's just a very tenuous time. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and that is, I'm sitting on the sidelines. Mr. Oliver, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to invasionstopper.com now. That's invasionstopper.com.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat? a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and I are chatting right now with Brian London. Brian is a regular guest on our show. Brian is the purveyor of the New Orleans Gold Conference, which we feel is one of the best conferences out there, number one and number two. Brian is also the chairman of a company that Corey and I and the Doc are all invested in. It's a company called NetCore Technology, and with Corey and I and Doc also just increased our holdings in that company just here very, very recently. So keep in mind, any comments that we may or may not have now or in the future about NatCore are truly biased as we are shareholders in that company. Brian, having said that, I want to get your views on what's going on in the markets, specifically the conventional markets. You know, since the first of the year, they have been absolutely plummeting if you measure them by the Dow, you know, NASDAQ and the S&P. What are your comments on that?
Well, what we're seeing in equities, I think, is the broader equity markets, not just in the U.S., but globally, is a readjustment in the new year facing what's going on in China, which is, you know, a rapid deceleration in the Chinese economy and attempt by the Chinese to allow the yuan to devalue, which they kind of come back on and try to stem that decline a bit. But currency uncertainty in the Chinese economy, the global economy, and that led to really a firestorm of equity sell-offs in every world market. You know, we saw that pattern over the first few days of the year, first week of the year, where it was just things would just explode in China, and then as the globe turned, every market would fall in succession. And the U.S. has never been able to really shake that. We've had some rallies that have evaporated. As we speak today, we have a bit of a rally, but I think what's happening is we're seeing that these markets, particularly the U.S. stock markets, are a bit oversold and trying to assimilate this fall. The question remains is, what are we going to see for the remainder of the year?
Well, and I think for the skeptics out there, Brian, 2016 has really shown them that the world and the markets are very connected. You mentioned the slowdown in China. We've continued hearing somewhat dismal news out of Europe, and we're seeing that weigh on the markets, and that is just a symptom of everybody being so connected. And quite frankly, I don't see a whole lot of beacons of hope out there in terms of growth picking up in any country. And I think that's going to be our new narrative moving through this year, is this slow growth at best type of economy. Do you see any sort of beacons of light out there right now?
No, because a lot of the developing world is dependent on higher commodity prices, and even important sectors in the Western world, particularly the U.S., are dependent upon higher energy prices, and we've seen them all plummet right now. What this is doing is that you would think that lower commodity prices and lower energy inputs would help an advanced economy like the U.S., but what we're seeing is that the U.S. economy is still weak enough that the virtual destruction of an entire sector like energy in the U.S. economy is dragging it down. And in addition, it's also lowering inflation. So the Fed is looking at a weakening U.S. economy to some extent, or at least not the kind of growth that it had hoped for, while it's just beginning a tightening cycle. And yet part of the justification for that tightening is the theory, the idea that inflation will resurge at some point, yet we're getting into deflation, more and more toward deflation. Instead of, say, a stag inflation like we had in the 1970s, it's like we have a stag deflation going on right now. And I think even in that environment, gold benefits because the Fed is being constrained, or will be constrained, I think, in its tightening policies. It may actually have to reverse at some point this year, and that is the big wild card, I believe, for gold this year.
How do you feel about any effect that energy might have, the energy sector, Brian, might have on precious metals? You know, specifically as we're recording this here late in the week, oil is still below $32 an ounce, as measured either by Brent or West Texas. West Texas is $31.33 a barrel. Brent is $31.02 a barrel. What effect do you think that oil may have on the price of gold, if any?
Well, I don't think it'll have much. I think it has a sentimental effect on gold. Gold seems to be to trade in direct correlation to energy prices to some extent, that higher oil prices help gold on certain days and over the short term. Ironically, lower energy prices actually help the gold miners, which kind of prevents the constraint on supplies or supply disruptions that we were thinking might happen, and really would help gold if they did happen. So that's putting off those supply cutbacks a little bit. In addition, the strong dollar, people don't realize this, the strong dollar is helping global mining companies because their costs are denominated in depreciating currencies while they're selling gold in the strong dollar. So they're really benefiting from that dynamic. So I don't think over the long term it has a huge effect on the metals prices either way. It's just really kind of a minor effect. I think what may be important is the reallocation or the shifting of money from the equity markets into gold and silver, which I think we saw a bit at the beginning of this year. We've had a bit of a setback and a correction in that early trend, but I think it's going to reestablish itself.
Now, Brian, what's your take on the argument that, yes, gold can move up in terms of a fear trade when people are that concerned that they don't have anywhere else to put their money and they think everything else is going down, that type of trade is not necessarily sustainable in a long term, and that long term for gold prices to be moving up, we do need to see an uptick in inflation, and even to your point, a change in the Fed policy.
I completely agree with that, and that's been one of my long-standing theses for years, really, is that investors should not buy gold based on short-term geopolitical issues or safe haven buying. It's kind of a sucker's bet and really not relevant to the long-term trend for gold. Gold rises on monetary issues, or long-term bull market in gold is always based on monetary issues. That doesn't always translate into retail price inflation, as we saw really from 2008 through 2011, which really based on what's happening to the money supply, the supply of fiat currencies. And we're in a situation right now where every currency in the world is in an expansion mode. They're printing hand over fist. They're undergoing their own versions of quantitative easing. The United States stands alone as the only economy that's in a tightening, a monetary tightening trend. And if that shifts, and if the Fed is forced to turn the slightest bit more dovish than their current stance, then I think gold will explode higher in reaction.
Do you think that in terms of where the price of precious metals are going to go in 2016 is still up in the air, in your opinion? Is that correct?
Very much so, but I do think there are signs that the U.S. economy is not that strong and could potentially weaken later this year. It's certainly due from a calendar standpoint for a recession, but there are signs that the recovery, such as it has been, is weakening. And if we start to slide toward a recession, then I think, you know, all bets are off. That's really the wild card for gold this year.
I think people do also need to pay attention that gold is coming up to this about 7-year cycle when we usually do see a trend change. Now, this cycle is looking like it should come due kind of at the tail end of this year. And I think that's why a lot of commentators are still saying, let's see how this all plays out through the first 6 to 9 months of 2016. Brian, it's always enjoyable chatting with you. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hour of the weekend edition. Corey and I are chatting with Mr. T, Chris Temple, and Doc Postma. We're going to talk about what happened in the markets this week. Pretty, pretty grim. I do have to say this, that I'm getting really worried, and I really hope that I can get my money out into cash and cash equivalents sooner rather than later. Okay, Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed off 391 points. S&P closed off, 41 is down to 1880. NASDAQ closed off 126.59 at 4488. Doc, let's start with you.
Well, we had that day that told us about the markets that we talked about yesterday. And what's interesting is right now the technicals are set up for next week not being good either. Now, that could change in a minute, but your momentum is still in favor of a down market overall. And that's what the technicals are telling you right now. And I think we're going to challenge, we mentioned today, or we mentioned yesterday on the show, that we had taken out, we're ready to take out some major support lines as well, and that's what you're going to have to watch for, because this thing is starting to look very foreboding in a lot of ways.
Doc, when you look at the markets from kind of a big picture standpoint here, the close that we put in this week on a weekly chart, we haven't closed at this level on the S&P until back in 2014, kind of the first half of 2014. So that's significant in my eyes.
Well, it is, and we took out also on the weekly, we took out the previous closing weeks in back in August, and that's another significant thing. Plus, we're sitting right at the 200-week moving average, which we almost touched in August, so we're doing it again, and we might play around with it a little bit when we start the week, but your odds are pretty good that now we take that out, and that would be significant in itself. So there's a lot of new things that are happening that are not positive for this market, just like there were when we started to talk about a topping pattern months ago. We were starting to see some things that we hadn't seen during the whole bull market. Well, we continue to see it. And so it's really going to be detrimental. But next week, again, as I said, momentum indicators are pointing that it's going to be a difficult week.
Hey, I want to say one thing. We got a comment here from Jason, and his comment is rather interesting. Get Doc Postma on here ASAP. He's like the Jedi Yoda of the stock market. We need to know what the stock master has to say. You got one heck of a following, Doctor. Having said that, Chris, what are your comments?
Well, what this is all about, and I know Doc looks at a lot of the technical behavior as I do and anybody needs to, but this is all about one significant underlying theme. And that is, and I've said this numerous times going back for many months, the stock market needs to reprice itself based on the new normal that has already long since taken hold in the economy. Yesterday morning, we had a slew of economic numbers come out that were screaming recession. We've already had a recession in corporate earnings for the last couple or three quarters. We're going to have a drop of 5 or 6% year over year for the fourth quarter, according to predictions. And you simply, this does not mean that stocks are obscenely overvalued as they were perhaps in 1999 and 2000, but they're not cheap either. And we need to have things come back to some level of sanity. The one thing that I think is most noteworthy about the selling that we've seen so far this year that continued this past week, except for Thursday, is that it was almost too orderly in some ways. The VIX only barely touched 30 yesterday, and that was only briefly. We've not seen panic spikes in volume or anything like that. And which tells me that we are maybe in the middle stages of a bear market that started back at the highs last fall. This is going to continue. Now, any minute now, we should get a bounce. The market is almost as oversold as it was at the extreme in August and September. But this is something that's going to go on for a while. And frankly, even though a lot of people were pining yesterday and in the last few days for the Fed to, you got to save us. You have to consider the fact that this is not too far from what they want.
Well, Chris, let's further explore this, what you called almost orderly sell-off, and I would agree with you. Even though we have moved down about 8% from the start of the year, I still don't think we've seen a huge, even fear day in the markets. We seem to, at least early on in the week, open the day up, and then just a gradual sell-off throughout the day. If we are adjusting to the new normal of slow growth and weak earnings, do you think that the market, whether it is in a couple weeks or a couple months, finds a lower level and almost takes a breather and consolidates sideways for a little while?
Well, we may well get that. I said a while ago, Corey, that if you're a big raging perma bear or a big raging perma bull, neither of those camps is probably going to be happy by the time we get to the end of this year. We're going to have an ugly year. It's going to be more volatile. It'll probably be more down movement than there was in 2015. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a process that hopefully remains orderly, hopefully, especially if you're Janet Yellen, that is going to see the market and a lot of risk assets reprice themselves. So we are going to have this grinding. You know, there's been times you could describe what's going on in the market as distribution. You can describe it as a rolling correction. There are several sectors of the market that are already in bear market territory. You know, they're down well over 20%. That's going to continue to roll through the market until we get enough value there. And as I've also said before, this is tailor-made for people who are old-fashioned and realize that when you buy shares of stock, you're buying part of a company. And value investing is finally, again, for an extended period of time, going to be rewarded in this kind of an environment.
Doc, let's switch it over to the precious metals. You made the comment that the precious metals were hanging up there. Gold is still holding below 1,100. Why do you think that is?
Gold is in a zone all its own now. I don't think gold is going to be influenced by these market moves at all. And actually, that's good because we've had so much selling of the metal that we're getting to the point now where people aren't looking at it. And to the value investor, which Chris referred to, as far as some of these stocks, is we're going to have a great chance by this spring to pick up stocks and up to the spring that are in an area of value that's going to be amazing. So gold, nobody's paying attention to it, Corey, and so it's going to fluctuate up and down, and we're probably going to move pretty much sideways to down as we get into the spring. It's not going to be a big move down. So it's going to be a good time for the value investors to pick up some of these metal stocks on dips. And they're starting to dip again. You're starting to see some of them sell off again. And so that should be encouraging to people, and it shouldn't be a negative.
That probably isn't a negative. I want to ask you a question, Chris, something that Mark brought up on the blog yesterday. Just want to ask you the question that he asked me, and that is, Big Al, what happened to what Obama said at the end of his State of the Union speech? Everything is okay.
That's looking at himself in a mirror through triple-strength rose-colored glasses. That's probably what the case is. You know, he can hang his hat, and it's half comical, Al, each month when we get the payroll numbers, when his labor secretary comes out, and the guy, if he didn't have notes in front of him, I don't think he could recite an eye chart in an eye doctor's office. But they crow about the unemployment rate and stuff like that. Look, the fact is that these numbers are largely cooked. The proof, as I've said numerous times, we got yesterday morning. You can have 0.5% unemployment. But when across the board, producer prices are falling, manufacturing is falling, the Empire State Index at its lowest level since 2009, and on and on and on, business inventories declining, all this kind of stuff. We are, in all but name, and according to in all but government statistics, arguably in a recession now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. Let's get some comments on energy real quick, you guys. We're almost out of time here.
Gee, look, we need to see. There's a wild card right now. A year after his big brother died, King Salman is very ill in Saudi Arabia. That is to be watched. But we're probably still going lower on oil before we turn around.
Doc, your quick comment?
Yeah, I think like the stock market, they're mirroring each other right now, oil and the stock market. And both of the charts, as far as momentum, do not look good going into next week. So I wouldn't be surprised to see oil finally get to a level in the next week, probably even early the following week. We could actually have a catharsis in oil here next week. And if we do, I think it's a buying opportunity on a short-term basis. Now, I'm just saying short-term because it looks like we're getting to the point where we're going to get a bounce. Now, whether that bounce lasts or not, that we'll have to wait for the technicals to show.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Chronic inflammation is now known to block your ability to repair and compromises your immune system, making you more vulnerable to all diseases. Since poor diet, injuries, or stress are all contributing factors, many people suffer from inflammation. Your body's number one means of neutralizing the inflammation and the pain that it may be causing is glutathione. Glutathione is the body's number one peptide to neutralize free radicals and thus stop inflammation.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm 44 years old. For 10 years, I had been suffering from chronic pain in my abdomen and groin that radiated down into my feet. After 3 weeks on One World Way, the pain in my feet reduced by 50%, and the overall pain in my body reduced significantly as well. I ran out of One World Way, and the pain returned. I got another container, and again, after 3 weeks, the pain reduced significantly throughout my body. I'd highly recommend One World Way to anyone dealing with chronic pain due to inflammation.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.